Father, we just come to you today, and we thank you that you are a God who's worthy of our trust, a God that we can lean on when it feels like the whole world's caving in around us, a God that is there even when we can't sense it, when we can't see you. But Lord, we can take you at your word, and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can trust you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, to have another opportunity to worship the living Lord and Savior, Jesus. This morning, we're going to be looking at Coming Up Empty Part 2, or at least that's what I planned. But I'm going to do something this morning that I hadn't planned. I don't often do that on Sunday mornings. I usually know pretty well where I'm going to preach and where I'm going to go, and sometimes weeks ahead I know the direction I'm going. Sometimes it's that week. And I have something prepared this morning, but I just feel like God's put something else on my heart as we've sat here this morning. I want to talk to you, the title of the sermon, Coming Up Empty. I want to talk to you about where that came from. A lot of you may or may not know. Some of you do. A lot of you have no idea. One of the things in my life that I deal with is depression. I was diagnosed with clinical depression back in 1999. You may see me a lot of times with a smile on my face. Everything looks okay. But I can tell you some days I'm really good at faking it. You ever been there? You're good at just kind of putting on that face, and you're good at just kind of faking it. Let me tell you about last week. Now, before I do that, let me tell you about a great man who once suffered with depression that's kind of been my encouragement throughout the years of ministry. Most of you, if you're familiar with preachers, you'd be familiar with Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, throughout his life, suffered with depression in a great way. As a matter of fact, in many of his sermons, he spoke about it, he wrote about it. He was actually very open about it. He was a man that was ahead of his time, and despite understanding quite a bit about it, he still struggled with it. Oh, and anybody that knows about the life of Spurgeon would definitely say he's a man of God. He's a man God used greatly. He preached to millions. But he identified depression as having three sources. Sometimes it comes from our circumstances. You know, last week there were a few circumstances. We had my dad that we care for in the emergency room three times last week, twice in one day. For those of you that are caring for aging parents, you know, sometimes it can be a difficult thing. Y'all know a couple of years ago when I became the care provider for my father, I shared with you that I did not grow up with him. I did not know him. As a matter of fact, in 30 years of marriage, he had never set foot in my house. But after his wife died and the dementia started, his stepchildren called one day and said, "Your daddy's got dementia. What do you want to do with him?" And me and the Lord had to really struggle to get to a point. But now these 2 years plus have passed, and he actually wasn't as bad at first as they told us, and we got to develop a relationship, a friendship. But since the first of the year, he had a stroke, and we had to move him from assisted living to the VA nursing home in Jackson because he's now on a feeding tube, and he can't talk, and there's been a lot of decline. And so circumstances sometimes can cause you to be at a point. Spurgeon said also, sometimes it happens because of biology. He understood that sometimes there are things that go on in our mind and in our body that we really don't have the control over. But they have to be treated and they have to be helped. And one of the things I deal with there is diabetes. A few years back, and I hope this doesn't make you think less of me, but working with my doctors and my psychiatrist, we discovered that when the diabetes levels go up, the antidepressants become ineffective. They don't work. Went this week to talk to the doctor, and for those of you that know about diabetes, A1C is how they measure you 3 months, and mine had gone up a full point since the last time, which explains some of the reason why that over the last month I've struggled with the depression in a way that I hadn't in a long time. But then the third area that Spurgeon spoke about it coming from, he said, sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes the enemy just comes and he attacks. Let me tell you, ever since we started working with the idea of starting Re-Engage, Lisa and I honestly hadn't had a good fight in years until we got started with Re-Engage. And then we just had us a humdinger. Hope that doesn't discourage you too much to know that your pastor and his wife can still squabble sometimes. And so, all three of those things have been building until last Sunday. The week coming up had been a good week. I had my quiet times. I was in the Bible doing what I should have been doing, making preparation. But one thing was absent. I wasn't getting clear leading on the preaching. I'm like, Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying, God. You know, I'm doing what I ought to be doing. Come to Saturday, I'm feeling pretty good, but I still hadn't got a word. Some of you that preach, have you ever been there? You're struggling to get it. You won't. My goal when I come to preach on Sunday is not to preach a sermon, although I believe God could take Scripture from anywhere and use it. My goal when I stand in the pulpit on a Sunday is to preach the sermon God wants for that day for His people in this place. 10 o'clock Saturday night, I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, you know tomorrow's coming, right? You hadn't forgot. This is Saturday night, midnight. I'm still there. 2 a.m. Finally. But even then, I had the passage. God gave me the direction to a passage, but it's like, all right, Lord, what do I do with it? And so I finally, about 2 a.m, put everything together. Got up that morning to come preach, and the depression sometimes just rolls in like a cloud. Everything can be fine 1 minute. And this won't make any sense, and some of you that have never dealt with it will not understand. But it's just like all of a sudden a cloud drops, and it just comes in. Last Sunday morning, that's where I was. And here's what I prayed. God, I don't understand. But if you're trying to get me to trust you in a deeper way, I can't feel you. I can't sense that you're here. But I know your word tells me that you are. And I know your word tells me that you hear me. So rather than operate on how I feel, I'll stand and I'll preach. Because it's what you've called me to. And I'll be obedient. And everybody that I talked to Sunday morning said everything was fine, but I want you to know that I was in such a bad place that when I left here Sunday morning, I looked at Lisa and I said, if this is what it's going to be like every Sunday, I can't do this anymore. And I literally went home and went to bed. But then I knew that we had to speak Sunday night. Lisa and I were doing the talk on communication. She came in, I guess, about 3 o'clock, and she says, well, do I need to plan on doing this by myself, or are you going to get out of bed? And it really made me mad. Do you know that? You know, one of the ways depression manifests itself with men is anger. It's not about necessarily feeling weepy and just out of control, but I didn't feel like I had much control. But we got up and we worked through it. And we came, and as I got here that night, it's like it all lifted again. And we did the thing on communication, and it went well. We had our group time, and it went well. And pretty much we've been good since. But a while back, in one of the deacons' meetings, I talked with the deacon some about this. Now, I want y'all to understand something. I believe I've got an extremely supportive, I thank God for our deacons. You know, they're good folk. They encouraged me. They said, Brother Eddie, do you have a group of pastors that you get with on a regular basis? And honestly, since I'd been here, that's not been the case. But I did when I lived on the other side of the state. And so they encouraged me to take that one day a month and go back. Monday morning was the day that we would meet. And I went back with those men. And I just shared with them where I was at. And they prayed for me. But they also encouraged me to go that evening and see my doctor and get lined up on some stuff. And we did. But you see, that sermon title came out of the fact that last Saturday night, I was coming up empty. Because there just wasn't anything left inside of me that I felt like God could take and God could use. Now, in spite of that, stepping out, God allowed me to be able to move forward. And this week's been better. Thank goodness. Working with the doctors, working on some different things. So I want you to know, as your pastor, in case you had any illusions, I don't always have it together. Sometimes I can look a lot better than I really am. And I know God called me to be the pastor here and to be in the ministry. In the last few weeks, there's even been a few times where that there's been some anxiety that I've never experienced in my life. I guess about 4 weeks ago, one Sunday morning, as I got ready to preach, Lisa recognized that I was standing there and literally shaking from head to toe, and I was struggling with whether I'd be able to make the steps. When I got in the pulpit, it's like God put his hand on me, and it just dissipated. But sometimes making those steps to get up has been a struggle in the last month and a half. And so I share this with you for a few reasons. One, I want your prayers. Because I don't intend to let this be the way things are. How you feel many times is not reflective of the truth around you. Even in my worst depressed day, that does not mean God's not on the throne. In my worst day, that doesn't mean that he's not answering my prayers just because I can't feel it. And I can't sense it. And so maybe there's some of you, I don't know why God put it on my heart just to share this with you today. There may be somebody here right now that you're at that place today. You're coming up empty. I preached about a number of reasons in marriage that you can come up empty. But I want you to know that those things also apply to more than marriage. But if you're here this morning and you're coming up empty, if you've got something going on, depression, anxiety, yeah, don't keep putting on the face. Turn to some friends, fellow pastors, our deacons. You want to talk to me? I can identify. I can understand. But it doesn't have to always stay that way. It just doesn't. So you trust the Lord with it. But I want you to understand something. When I first was diagnosed with depression, I struggled with the idea that I might take medication for depression. You know what? Because I'm a pastor. You know what? Pastors are supposed to be men of God. They're supposed to be men of faith. They're supposed to be men of prayer. God allowed me to be connected with a doctor who was actually my friend, who was in the National Guard with me. He was a Sunday school teacher in a local church, and like I say, we were more than doctor and patient. We were friends because of all the time in the guard and the different things that we spent together. He was the one that diagnosed me in 1999. And you know what my reaction was when he talked to me about it the first time? I wanted to punch him. What do you mean, me depressed? I'm not weepy. I'm not crying. I've just got things that are agitating me a lot right now. And you're one of them. And he looked at me and he said, Eddie, this isn't about not praying enough. It's not about not reading your Bible enough. It's not about being the person God's called you to be. He says, there is a chemistry problem. That isn't going to get better unless you let me help in this situation. And within 2 weeks of starting the antidepressants, the world looked like a different place. It made a huge difference. And so I want you to understand something in this. When you talk about depression, you talk about other things, it's not a question of just praying and just trusting. Sometimes it's a question of praying and trusting and using the doctor. Had a pastor friend, well-meaning one time, that he says, well, are we going to trust Jesus or are we going to trust Prozac? I'm going to tell you what I do now. I thank Jesus for Prozac. Because it makes a difference. Now, that doesn't alleviate personal responsibility. That doesn't alleviate having to consciously do things. Because there's no magic pill just to take it all away. But it helps. And so whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're suffering with, don't struggle alone. Don't let it eat your lunch. Don't be afraid to talk with somebody. God puts us in community. You know, we talk about loving God, loving others, and serving the world. That part of loving others is connecting. And connecting with people closely enough that when you get into a difficult situation, that you can pray to God, but you can go and talk to a brother or sister. It's kind of like a little girl who was praying one night and she was scared in her room and she was praying and her mom came, she was upset and her mom came in to pray with her and she said, you know, Jesus is always with you. She said, yes, mommy, but sometimes I just need somebody with skin on. The Lord is always with us. But there are times when having somebody to walk beside you can make all the difference in the world. And God designed it that way. He designed it that way. And so, here's what we're going to do today. I'm not going to try to preach the sermon that I planned for this morning. I'm going to open an invitation. I'm going to ask you today, one, if you have something that you're struggling with in your life, to bring it to the Lord today. But not just to bring it to the Lord. If there's a point where you need to get somebody to come with you, to pray with you, to pray for you, then you do that. It may not be depression. It may be something in your marriage. It may be something in your life in a completely different area. But the point is, there's no area that you cannot bring to God. You see, as long as you try to manage them, hide them, and keep them to yourself, you're going to come up empty. You're beat. You're beat before you ever get started. But you don't have to be. You see, the enemy wants you to believe that's the reality. But the reality is, God's bigger than that. That's the reality. Walk by faith. When you can't see it, when you can't feel it, when you can't hear it, hold course with where God told you to go until you hear the next instruction, and trust Him that there will be a next instruction, that He's still there. So wherever you are today, I just want to open up the altar and have a time of invitation today. And I want to ask you as a church, one, to pray for me. But also, I think that one thing we've seen with our leaders in the Re-Engage is that there has been a spiritual attack in several places with several people to try to knock us down. It was interesting to me that once I actually got here Sunday evening, how that everything just lifted. I really feel like some of the stuff that I felt last week was just depression to try to keep me from coming to this place Sunday night and try to throw a kink in things. Maybe the enemy's trying to keep you from something that God wants to do. Take the step. Trust Him. Even if you can't feel Him, even if you can't hear Him, today trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you today. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to put on our best face, that we don't have to act like we've got it all together, that God, sometimes when our emotions and our mind and our heart are going so many different directions that we just feel broken, that we can still trust you. We can trust you when it doesn't make any sense to us, because your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your word says that you have not sent your word out void, but it will always accomplish that which is sent forth to accomplish. Lord, I come right here today. I pray for anybody that's got anything, Father, that's holding them, that today you'd help them to find freedom, that they wouldn't struggle with the chains in the dark, but that they'd bring them out into the light. Lord, that you'd put somebody beside them, that you would help them through your word and through your spirit to know beyond a doubt that you are God and this isn't the final word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, please stand.